First reading is taken from Isaiah 60, 1 to 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings of the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth of the seas will be brought to you. To you, the riches of nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord.
The second reading is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in the dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Amen. Thank you to Diana and to Leon for those readings. Last Sunday, Helen Suarez took us through a review of the year 2019. Today, I want to sort of look forward into 2020. People are saying that the year 2020 reminds them of 2020 vision. And so looking forward is a good thing to do at the start of the year, isn't it? And of course, as we've heard, today is also Epiphany, the season between Christmas and Lent, when we read the story of the Magi, the wise men. And they were the experts at looking forward. They did that actually by looking upwards to the heavens. In their day and in their culture, which was probably Persian, they weaved astronomy and astrology into their religion. And God spoke to them by a remarkable star that led them all the way to Jesus. One modern poster reads, "Wise men still seek him." And that's my first point, looking ahead into 2020. Because Christian faith, even life itself, begins and ends with Jesus. So I want to start the year with a series of sermons in the first few weeks on the gospel of Jesus, the good news, the heart of the Christian faith. Why do I want to do that? What's the reason? Why should we gossip the gospel and share with others? Well, I think there's one major basic reason: that it's good news. That's what the word gospel means. It means God's spell or God's word. And if you have good news, usually you want to share it, don't you? You want to tell people, whether they're friends or even strangers. It's one of the reasons I think that Facebook has been so successful, actually, because when people find good stuff, whether it's pictures or jokes or articles or whatever, they want to share it. They want to pass it on and get the word out there. If you find something amazing, don't you want to let people know? Hey, have you heard this? Latest news. Good news. But maybe the catch is that we're not at all sure that it is good news. Maybe we're not sure it's news anymore. And maybe we're not even convinced that it's good. The gospel story, after all, has been around for 2,000 years and more now, hasn't it? Surely most people have heard it by now, haven't they? And heard it perhaps until they're tired of hearing it, haven't they? Actually, no, they haven't. You'd be surprised how many people have never heard about Jesus, even in Britain. And with every year that passes, people seem to know less and less about Christianity and about the stories of Jesus. You've only got to watch some of those quizzes or tests on television and in the newspapers and so on. People just don't know anymore. And that means that people are somehow more open to learning, to asking questions, and to discovering afresh the stories about Jesus. So it actually is news for a lot of people. Then again, maybe you're not convinced that the good news is really good. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you found that church is a bit demanding. Or boring, or perhaps people have not been very kind to you. Now, all those human failings, they're common enough, aren't they? They're common enough in any organisation or any group. But the good news actually is not really about people. It's not really about the church or those around you. It's actually about Jesus. He's the one that we follow. And Jesus was kind and caring. Jesus was loving and forgiving. He's the one who laid down his life for us. He's the one who leads us to God. When the good news is about Jesus, then it is truly good. If you've gone off the idea of sharing the good news, then maybe we need to refocus on Jesus himself. His life and character, what he's done for us on the cross and in the resurrection. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12 puts it like this: in Jesus and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Freedom and confidence to approach God. Wow. That's pretty amazing, the more you think about it. When the wise men arrived at the house where Jesus was, Matthew tells us in that story, he tells us that they were overjoyed at finding Jesus. They'd spent probably many months and even years traveling to get there. In verse 10, they were just full of it. They were bubbling over with joy and delight. It's good news. And Jesus told us to pass it on too. Matthew ends his gospel with these words: Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age." Jesus asked us to pass it on, this good news about him. And also, actually, it's very rewarding. Everybody who shares good news with others says, "I got a thrill out of that, to see people taking steps towards God in Jesus." People say it's the best thing that you can do, like Andrew leading his brother Simon Peter towards Jesus. Two other things I think will be important this year. Last Sunday, one of the readings that we heard read was Colossians 3, 12 to 17. "As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." I think that's going to be important this year, because with all the stresses and strains of our lives, it's very easy to snap at those around us, those who are near to us, isn't it? But I think we must remember that we are God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. And I think we need to be kind to one another, and even to those who press our buttons. Perhaps you can think of people who do that for you. I think through this year, it would be good to have a year of kindness and appreciation of one another. And also, I think we're going to hear more and more this year about the planet, the climate, and caring for the earth. We know that this is God's creation, don't we? And we know that he's made us responsible for looking after it. So we need to do all that we can in every small way that we can, and not wait for others and governments and so on to act first. We might wait for a long time. The gospel of the Creator includes the redemption of creation. So I want to take us to take a moment now, if we may, just to listen to what God's saying to us as we come into this new year, to reflect on what we've heard, on the readings, and to just ask God to speak to each of us. Maybe God's dropped a thought into your mind, something you can do or say, something you can take home and put into practice. Lord, speak to our hearts by your Spirit and give us the courage to do what you command. In Jesus' name, amen.